Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Time remaining 19 seconds. Manning calling signals on third and goal. And up to no one. Back to throw. Fires, and it is caught for a touchdown. Jake Ballard, a one-yard touchdown pass, and Manning brings them back and breaks the Patriots fans' hearts just as it did in Super Bowl 42.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepard.
Well, hey there, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Pete Shepard Show, our first one of the week here on Tuesday, here until 6 o'clock tonight, right here on our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Of course, you can always Facebook me as well, and I will be happy to read all your messages. And, man, I can imagine we've got a few already today from this morning, this afternoon, and now as we head into the late afternoon, a whole lot more. Well, first off, we're going to talk. I mean, the Patriots-Dallas game. See, I'm kind of a weird mood today because this Penn State stuff has really got me down. I'll be honest with you, it's tough. It's tough to read that grand jury report like I did this morning, and you feel anger, you feel all sorts of emotions, tearful. It makes you want, it makes you want to do violent things. And obviously, if I was a parent of one of those children who was molested, or I have to say allegedly molested, by this dirtbag, Jerry Sandusky, I can't even imagine what that must be like. I can't even imagine it. But a friend of mine, Greg Spano, former offensive lineman at Penn State. He played there for a couple of years, and he's going to come on for a few minutes, and we're going to talk to him a little bit. And we'll get into the Patriots a lot today, I promise you. Believe me, with Albert Haynesworth getting cut. Excuse me, Albert Haynesworth getting cut. And also, the loss to the Giants. Another tough loss, I know, and I understand that everybody's lined up on the bridges and then said, here come all the theories again. They know he can't coach, and Brady doesn't care about football, and the games pass Belichick by, and the offense stinks, and the defense stinks. And, I understand the frustration. Believe me, I understand the frustration. You take a couple of bad, not badly called, but the interference calls on the Patriots at the end were just – really killers in that football game. And it's too bad because the defense really did do a lot of good things out there on Sunday in a lot of ways. But obviously overshadowed, the bottom line is they didn't win. And they didn't cover Ballard on the last play very well. Eli made a pretty nice throw. They did pick him off earlier in the quarter. Arrington had a nice interception in the end zone. And when the Patriots marched down and took that lead, you thought probably the game was going to be over, but not so fast, as Lee Corso likes to say, this year anyway. But there's still a lot of football left to be played. And I think it's a good thing that they're playing the Jets this week on the road, because maybe this team gets back, and is going to be highly focused. Brady had a couple, had a few nice throws in the game, and also had a couple of bad interceptions again, a few bad throws. Overall, the numbers looked okay. They looked pretty good. But we all know he can actually play better than that. A couple of drop passes in that game he had as well. But they still had the lead. Again, very similar to the Super Bowl. Lead with 90 seconds to go. And the defense just can't hold on. But we're going to get to that in a little bit. Because this stuff to me about this Penn State stuff is really disturbing. And I hope... people, you can go on ESPN or a number of websites. I think it's somewhere on one of my Facebook posts. One of my friends put it up there about, the grand jury report. It's 22 pages, and it is some of the most disturbing reading I have ever had to witness in my life. But right now, joining me on the AT&T hotline is my friend Greg Spano, who is a former offensive lineman at Penn State from 2000 to 2002. Hey, Greg, thanks for coming on today, pal.
Oh, no worries. Thank you, Pete, for having me.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you know, I know you end up transferring later on for educational, all that stuff, but tell me your feelings. I know how close you were to Penn State, and I certainly know, you know, your beautiful wife, Andrea, who played goalie there as a lacrosse, and yep. also, and that's how you guys met, right? You guys met at Penn State. But
absolutely.
It's going to be, just tell me what your feelings were when all this, we'll get into the whole Sandusky stuff in a second, but just your thoughts as a former Penn State offensive lineman about everything that's happened the last 48 hours.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm a little confused, a little distraught, and just amazed by all the things that have happened and how things were said, what was done. A lot of this stuff we were just not made aware of. And between the years of 2000 and 2002, as you can imagine, coming off of having players like LeVar Arrington, Courtney Brown as part of our team, it was the dark ages of Penn State. Just the entire organization was in disarray. So, there's a lot going on.
Were there any whispers at all during that time about, hey, you know, Sandusky had just left, right, before you got there? It was right around that time where he was not a coach anymore?
Yeah, Sandusky had left. I mean, I knew Sandusky, and my brother knew Sandusky. My brother had started for Penn State football between the years of 98 to 2001 for the team as the starting center.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we knew Sandusky very well. We were, you know, it was considered linebacker U. I don't think anybody who was part of that program did not know Sandusky. And we were always made to understand. I mean, the rumor that was flying around the locker room was that Sandusky had left the organization because he wanted to be in Joe Paterno's position, and Joe Paterno wouldn't let him have that, so you know he dropped out of coaching. That's what we were made to understand.
But were there any whispers? I mean, you know how, you know, especially, you know, young people in their 20s can find out anything, it seems, and even back then. Were there any whispers about this guy? Did you have, you guys, your teammates have, or you have any inclination at all of how warped and sick this guy actually was on the side?
No, not at all, and I think that's the most disturbing part. I mean, we remember Coach Sandusky bringing kids in the locker room to meet the football players because they were part of the special needs programs that he was running. I mean, after this incident was reported, he was still walking around the administrative building. So it's just sickening that, I guess, how many layers must have been involved to keep this really quiet.
Well, I mean, he was on campus last week, from what I understand. I mean, some of the reports, he was on campus last week, which is even more disturbing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this brings into question a lot of things. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Joe Paterno, but the foremost representative for Penn State football, it makes you wonder how much he knew, how much he had to keep contained. I mean, I understand he did all the right things, you know, telling his boss, talking to Tim Curley, but
I don't think he did enough. I think that's the bottom line. And I know that Penn State is going to try to spin this. I mean, just by canceling the press conference today, they're trying to get some spin control on top of this. And I'm sure trying to secure, Joe Paterno's, legacy as one of the greatest football coaches of all time. But, in my opinion, I mean, by Pennsylvania law, if you have knowledge that a child is being molested, you have a moral obligation to go tell the police. Telling your AD just doesn't cut it. I don't buy it. I think he knew a lot more. I think a lot more is going to come out. A ninth victim has already come out today, and I think this is just, I think it's just going to snowball and get worse. But Joe Paterno cannot sit there and deny that he had, you know, only a vague idea of what was going on. I mean, he has got to take, obviously, you don't put him in Sandusky's class, it's not even fair to say that. But he is captain of that ship. He is ultimately responsible for what goes on, and nobody can tell me that he didn't know that some of this stuff was going on. Maybe he didn't realize it was as severe as it was, but he had to know that when McQuarrie went to him, Mike McQuarrie, as a graduate assistant in 2002, and told him that he saw a child being molested in the shower, that how right there and then, first of all, I'd take a shovel to the guy's head, and then I'd go to the police, then I'd go to the police and tell him exactly what I saw. I don't understand how Joe Paterno did not do that.
Yeah, I think, you know, my brother put it in a way where you have a fight or flight situation when you witness something like that. And it just kind of shows the person that McQuarrie was. I mean, he went to his dad, from his dad to Joe Paterno, from Joe Paterno to Tim Curley. you know, at that point, it's too late. Like, you know, you think about what's happening to that kid, to that person, and it's disgusting. And, you know, and not to add to the conspiracy theory, I mean, with the time that I was there, there was so many different things happening in the organization. I mean, you get somebody like Mike McQueary, he's a graduate assistant. He went on to become an assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was that part of the buy-in for keeping this under wraps? Sandusky left. Al Golden was brought in. Nick Anderson stepped down from the quarterback coach position to become the interior line coach. Everything was in disarray those years. And it makes you wonder how much of that was done, you know, whether it was to self-promote Mike McQueary, whether it was to keep things under wraps. I you know, a lot of questions. That's why I add to that confusion.
And you look at, and if you read the grand jury report and you see the testimony of some of the victims and how they were, you know, obviously they're a very impressionable age, and the Second Mile program is, you know, for underprivileged kids and boys and everything. And most of them were bribed by taking the football games. And one of them, I'm sure you saw this, one of them, he promised, he said, "I promise you, if you don't say anything, basically, you'll be a walk-on on the team." I mean, just sick.
Yeah, I mean, I remember victim number 9 going to the Fiesta Bowl. So I remember that. I was a kid watching my brother play on the field, and that kid was in the stands. So it's disgusting. It's just really, it's upsetting. I mean, and as much as I talk about what happened to the program, it's really about the kids. It's about, you know, how they're affected. And honestly, I don't know how Sandusky could live with himself.
Oh, I don't either. And he probably won't live very long when he goes to jail. I can tell you that. And nobody's going to shed a tear, to be honest with you. You can't tell me. I mean, Joe Paterno has more power than the damn governor, for crying out loud, in the state of Pennsylvania. I got to believe that he knew about what was going on. They're going to have to completely, in my opinion, clean house over there. They all are going to have to go. I mean, it's also about, Matt Millen brought it up today. It is so sick and sad that we're talking about we can't protect our children. For God's sakes, if you can't protect your children in that kind of environment with a guy like Joe Paterno at the helm, who's ultimately responsible for his coaching staff and everything else, it'd be the same thing. If something like that happened around here and it was Bill Belichick and one of his coaches or one of his players or something like that, I guarantee you the crap would come down on him in 2 seconds. And I think Joe has got to take, he's got to step up here and kind of say that he knew what was going on. He can kind of deny it all he wants. The evidence is there. He should have gone to the damn police immediately. And I'm just amazed it dragged out this long. For 14 or 15 years, 9 alleged victims that we know about. God only knows how many more are out there. And if Joe had just done something back in 2002, maybe he could have saved a lot of hardship on some of these other kids.
Yeah, and you don't know how often it was. You don't know what happened beyond that. I mean, honestly, I have a lot of respect for Joe Paterno. I think you would be hard-pressed to find anyone who says they don't have respect for Joe Paterno. Maybe not today due to everything that's happening, but I would hope that Joe Paterno becomes the honest individual that we know he is, or we hope he is, and just says, hey, he made a mistake. This is what happened. This is what he was told to do. I mean, I could only hope and dream of a Joe Paterno that if I had found out about that stuff, he would have left. He would have let that organization not be part of it, you know, because that's how strong and morally, adamant Joe Paterno is when it comes to college football and sports and the kids that he brings into the program. He should know that. I mean, what if it was one of his kids?
Well, exactly. I mean, God forbid. I mean, but, you know, he's always, they've always had not a completely squeaky clean program, but I mean, pretty close, as close to a clean program as you can have in this day and age, particularly last 15, 20 years in college football. But this is just going to, and it's going to be unfortunate because all the crap is going to come down and he's going to have to resign. I know the New York Times has a story out today, that Penn State is trying to put kind of a spin on it and how they're going to actually word it and do it. But I don't even know how he stands on the sideline. If you were still playing for him, Greg, how would you handle a game coming up against Nebraska on Saturday? What would you be going through? How could you practice in that environment?
Honestly, I mean, the only thing you could tell kids is that the kids on that team is to focus on the game that they play, what they came here to do. I mean, I understand maybe a lot of them who have the dream of Penn State and the image that they've received of Penn State, But honestly, if they have love for the game, they focus on that. I know that's probably a harsh way to put it because of everything that's happening around them, but that's what you have to focus on.
Do you think Joe's going to coach on Saturday? I know he says he is, but, I mean, how difficult can that be? And that's going to be his last, I believe this is his last home game this year.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think at that point it's probably it's going to be the most difficult game he's ever coached, and that includes the Rose Bowl championship in '94. It's going to be, I mean, for him to be on that field, there's a lot to go on. I just hope it doesn't affect the kids that are playing that football game. It doesn't affect their futures in light of the situation, because that's not what they came to play there for.
And I know you've spoken with your brothers. You said your brother was a starter a few years before you, the center on the team, and you've spoken to him today. You said earlier, and how, I mean, he must be devastated by this whole thing. Also, it must make him sick.
I mean, he's devastated. He actually, I mean, he's had a couple of conversations with former players and trying to understand everything that's going on. He's sick. You know, someone asked him the other day if he felt validated. You know, by everything that went on, because a lot, you know, he was a starter there and he had left the organization after two games because of everything that was happening at Penn State, with the coaches being completely reassembled and the different cliques that were happening there. You know, people asked him that, and, you know, the one thing I'll admire for my brother, the first thing he said was, it's about the kids. It's, you know, really, you know, concerned about them and making sure they're okay.
Mm-hmm. No, and he's right. I'm just wondering, you know, how. But he also had not, when he was there, I mean, he didn't hear any rumors or whisperings about Sandusky and showers with young children and all that stuff, or any kind of funky looking relationships, all these young kids at games all the time, and the way he, you know, handled them. And I know his wife was around at certain times, but there was no, like, people, you know, sometimes kids are pretty perceptive. They just look over and say, man, something's not right with this guy. But you seem to say that none of that was ever really talked about.
I think that's the scariest part about it. You know, you hear about people saying that when they find out there's a serial killer next door, all they say was, oh, I remember him being such a nice man. In the same situation here, no one ever knew about it. It sickens my brother because he did participate in those camps and help with coaching of kids and talking to them about the, you know, it's upsetting. I remember the days when, you know, my brother, Mac Morrison, Mike Ceramelli, they all participated and volunteered to help those kids. And never in a million years, if they had known any of their stand for. So that's what's so shocking.
Well, what do you think happens with it? I think the president has to take some accountability. You know, obviously Curley and Schultz, I think they should go to jail. I mean, they perjured themselves. About child molestation, to perjure yourself like that, it's just disgusting. But how do you think this all is going to play out regarding, you know, Joe Paterno, the president, the whole coaching staff? I think they're all going to have to go.
You know, I think, you know, it starts off, and I know Mike McQuarrie was the person who had mentioned this, but he's got to come under light. I mean, Mike McQuarrie was a graduate assistant and now an assistant coach. You got to wonder, you know, what promoted him from that, you know, from one position to another, and question that. You got to question Joe Paterno, of course. And honestly, I think the best thing for people to do in any of these situations is to tell the truth. Don't let anything sit to wonder. I mean, you don't want to leave these people thinking the worst, which I'm sure they are already thinking the worst, but you just come clean. Tell everybody what has to happen, and then from there, the organization has to clean house. You know, and hopefully they build upon the morals that Joe Paterno put in place before this incident, and then they go forward.
All right, Greg. Well, thanks so much for taking a few minutes, and best of luck, and say hello to Andrea the rest of the way, and I'll hope to see you soon. You're a great guy, and I really appreciate you coming on and your thoughts about you and your brother as well. So thanks so much, my friend. I'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pete.
All right, Greg. Thanks a lot. That's Greg Spano, former offensive lineman for Penn State University. And see, what happens is, this is what's great about the friends that I have, and my dear friend Lou, who was just the best man at my wedding, that is actually his, new son-in-law by about a little over a year. They're actually expecting their first child in January. I can't wait. It's going to be a boy. We've had discussions before about Penn State and Joe Paterno and his brother and all that stuff. And I can just imagine how devastated they must feel, as anybody who's gone to Penn State. And again, it's not so much about the programs, the football program at all. It's about these kids who were molested, the nine that we know about. And I guarantee you, this is going to get so much uglier over the next couple of days, because I'm sure God only knows what kind of trips were involved, cash to keep people's mouths shut, and not just the kids. I just find it hard to believe that an entire administration did not know what the hell was going on with something as so severely disgusting and heinous as this.
Here's an interesting thought, Pete.
Yeah.
What do you think this scumbag's wife thinks of all this?
Oh.
Can you imagine finding out that your husband had this secret life of all these
years? Yeah, and there were many times where she was around. They adopted, what, six kids? They had foster children in their home. So it's just, I mean, you got to read, if you can stomach it, you got to read the grand jury testimony from all of this. It is just, I've never seen anything like it, you know, and the fact that it's around a football team and a football coach and a, you know, one of the legendary football coaches at the helm of this thing. Look, I'm not putting Joe Paterno in any way, shape, or form in Jerry Sandusky's class. However, I think he has to take if I'm Joe Paterno, I have a hard time looking at myself in the mirror today, because knowing that if I had just done more, which he should have, and there's no doubt about it, he should have, that maybe some of these other kids might not have had to go through what they went through. And it is beyond, it's just disgusting and demoralizing, and it's just, these kids are all in their 20s now, and they're going to have to live with that the rest of their lives. And, it's just, I'm just absolutely distraught over the whole thing. And, again, I urge anyone to read, if you haven't read it, go read that grand jury report. And you tell me if Sandusky, I know there's allegations, please. This guy's going to jail for a long time. Well, actually, it won't be a long time, because I think he's going to be dead within the first 4 or 5 months he's there. I mean, this guy is beyond, he's one of the biggest psychopath dirtbags you'd ever want to, meet in your life. And it's unbelievable. It's amazing how you could get away with this stuff for 15 years and how the hell you get on the campus last week. I mean, what is going on in this country? What is going on with some of this stuff? How can you not? How can you let little children suffer like that as an one of America's great institutions for education? And one of the, ultimate respected coaches, football coaches of all time, and Joe Paterno sitting at the helm of this and not doing enough to protect those little kids. Oh, it is freaking disgusting. It is so disgusting. I want heads to roll. Oh, man. I mean, all this stuff happens. Who gives a crap about the Patriots losing to the Giants? This is like, how could anybody look at this Penn State story today and really put it in perspective, people? You know what? The Patriots will live to fight another day. They're still going to be in the goddamn playoffs, and hopefully they're going to go pretty far. But I'm not going to sit here today and tell you I have the same emotions about a team that lost by 4 points to the Giants on a last-second drive. Like, that has anything to do with real life and about what's going on at Penn State today. My priorities are completely different today. I'm sorry. You know, Haynesworth, no Haynesworth. I get it. I know the frustration everybody has with this Patriots team. But, man, goddamn it, today, it's not going to happen on this show, because there's way more things more important to talk about. But going on in college football, the Patriots will be there. They're going to be fine. Trust me, they're going to be fine. I said it once, and I'll say it a million times. As long as that head coach and quarterback are playing, this team's going to win a lot more games than it loses. And I know it sucks today because of what happened on Sunday. I understand all that. But, my God, I want some thoughtful discourse and opinions today on what do you think should happen with this Penn State situation, because this is something that, I mean, I've never seen anything like this before. We saw what happened with Cardinal Law and the Catholic Church in Massachusetts. We know that. But in relation to sports, and I know what's happened, other stories, and there have been horrible stories before in sports, but this one is just, I can't get over the fact that Joe Paterno was ahead of, actually knew at least of one incident and could have prevented several others and didn't. Why? Why? Vanity? Ego? Sake of the program? Shame on you, Joe Paterno. I thought you were so much better than that. Shame on you. Disgusted. I'll take a quick break and compose myself. We're doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Back with your phone calls, your emails, and your Facebook messages right after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation and account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y.
Mm-hmm. Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Hi, back here on Patriots.com. Pete Shepherd Show here until 6 o'clock. Again, the number on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, webradio@patriots.com, and Facebook me as well. Got lots of Facebook messages from earlier today as well about Penn State, some about the Patriots. I'm going to read all of them. So, again, I know I'm a little wound up today about Penn State, but certainly, you know, we're on Patriots.com, so I certainly welcome, you know, all the calls and your frustrations about the team. We'll certainly can talk about it, no question about it. And I feel your pain, but I just think, you know, priorities and, you know, the panic button today in the last couple of days is that the Patriots can do no right and the world sucks and everything else. And then it's not that bad. It's just not that bad. It's not as bad as some of you think. It's not as bad as some of the media thinks. It's a big overreaction by a lot of ways. You know, somebody sent me an email today about the Patriots haven't drafted anybody over the last 2 years. And, I mean, it's a freaking joke when people come up with those stupid generic statements because you can go through, you know, Gronkowski, Hernandez, Vollmer, McCourty, Mayo, Spikes, Chung, just to name a few off the top of my head. So, you know, please don't waste my time with blanket statements that are so far off. Mary Beth says, I love it, Pete. I cannot have said it better myself. WTF is going on with these administrators? The whole system should go down. Is it all about, what is it all about? God Almighty. It's unbelievable. William on Facebook. There's a great one. Pete, in your opinion, can Brian Hoyer manage to put up 0 points and a half? Chad responds, what are we supposed to do, William? You want to start Ryan Mallett? I mean, I mean, come on. I don't know if you guys, if some of you being serious or you just goofing around or what. You know, 1-0-0 game in the stadium in, 9 years. In a way, I found it quite refreshing, to be honest with you, because I liked what the defense was doing a lot. You know, and it was very much, I mean, those of you Saturday night, and I watched the entire LSU-Alabama game. I mean, that was a great game to watch. You don't need to see 50 points scored to be entertained. That was as entertaining a college football game, just a football game, as you'll ever want to see. I loved it. I didn't care. I mean, I know I was a little frustrated to chip the missed chip shot field goal by Gostkowski and a couple of plays that went awry for the Patriots, but I was impressed. The defense did a great job for the most part in the first half, holding the Giants to no points. And as a Patriot, I mean, you had to feel comfortable that New England would outscore them in the second half. And even though they fell behind early, they did up until the last 90 seconds. Quite similar to 2007, unfortunately, but it did happen. All right. Joseph says, when it comes down to the end, on web radio anyway, webradio@patriots.com, Joseph says, when it comes down to the end of the game and you have to throw a Hail Mary to the end zone to win, why does Belichick keep Brady and Mallett has the bigger arm to reach the end zone? Give the young gun a shot at the end zone. Brady can't launch it like Mallett can. Well, Joe, you must be at practice every day then, too. You must be at practice. to realize that. Have you ever seen Joe Mallett throw a Hail Mary outside of an exhibition game? I've seen Tom throw many of them. He can reach the end zone. I mean, that's just, again, I don't know if you're being serious or just, I don't know where you're going. Let's see. Lucas says, hey, Pete, how's it going? Love the shows and all, but there was a caller a while ago, a woman whose husband was a Colts fan, and she was talking about Peyton Manning's sideline effort versus Brady's, and I basically choked. She said some crazy line about Tom isn't on the sidelines after every offensive series, looking at the folder of recent screenshots, and Manning is. Nothing was said in response to that, and I must ask you all and that woman caller, are you even watching the game? Tom Brady, 9 out of 10 times, if the cameras are on him after the series, is right there on the bench with that folder on his lap. Do not tell me he isn't. I cannot believe people are now questioning Brady's work ethic. Tom loves to win, so we'll try every damn way possible to do so. And lastly, I think you're making a bigger deal about that biking photo of this supposedly early morning of the game day. Okay, he's biking. Game is until 4:15. You don't know what time the photo was taken. At least it was a little loosening up exercise before reporting to the stadium, and I see nothing wrong with that, nothing. At least it wasn't a picture of him pounding chicken wings and drinking beers at a bar before the game, right? Anyway, thanks for what you do. Goodbye, Fat Albert. I hope I see Moss back here just for the hell of it. Let's go, Pats. Well, first of all, as far as the picture thing goes with Giselle and the dog, I could care less. If you heard me in the crossover with John Brook, I pay no attention to that at all. I don't give a damn what they do. As far as these guys off the field with their own families and stuff, I don't care that Tom is riding a bike around town with the dog, and it doesn't bother me. What doesn't bother me at all. And as far as Tom not looking on the sidelines, I don't know what that girl who called or woman who called. I have no idea what you're watching because he's always looking at film, pictures on the side, always. So I don't know what that you just made that up. It doesn't exist. Patriots, by the way, have signed wide receiver Tyquan Underwood. They released Albert Haynesworth, and as you know, they've also released, once again, tight end Dan Gronkowski, and they released offensive lineman Thomas Welch from the practice squad. Now, in case you're wondering about Tyquan Underwood, 24 years old, played the last 2 years, been in the league for a couple of years with Jacksonville. Signed with the Patriots earlier this year in August after being released by Jacksonville. He was released by the Pats September 3rd. 6'1", 183 pounds, originally entered the NFL as a seventh-round draft pick by Jacksonville in the 2009 draft. He's out of Rutgers. And let's see, after beginning his rookie season of the practice squad, he joins the 53-man roster, appeared in 3 games, mainly on special teams. Last year, played in 10 games and caught 8 passes for 111 yards, returned 24 kicks for 561 yards, including a career-long 53 yards in the season opener versus Denver. So Tyquan Underwood will try him at wide receiver. Maybe Taylor Price will be healthy enough to play this week. Maybe he can make it through a week of practice. Try to get on the field this week. Chad Johnson? Done. I don't know. I've reached the point. Yeah. I don't know what to think about this guy. I'm disgusted. He's obviously just not getting it. It's blatantly obvious that he's just not getting it. And I don't know how much longer. I know they're paying him a lot of money, but I'm not sure how much longer he's going to be here either because he's wasting space. Right now, I'm really upset with him. Sterling says, Pete, why are you shocked about the Penn State debacle? This is America. This is what America is all about. Greed, corruption, avarice. WEI's Big Show called it right, and the Paterno was more concerned about the program than doing the right thing. The program is about the money.
You're making my point.
Like the NCAA. That's what you get for worshiping the All-American image. Well, no, I'm not worshiping the All-American image, Joe Paterno. I do think, obviously, there's some truth to him caring more about the program than going to police on his own. I just don't know if something is so disgusting as this. Anybody, any person in that situation that's part of that administration at Penn State in any way, shape, or form. If any of those kids on the football team saw it, I guarantee they probably would have gone to the police. You tell the athletic director and that's it, and then all of a sudden, Mike McQuarrie comes into his office and says, Coach, I just saw Jerry Sandusky or Coach Sandusky in the shower molesting a young kid. And you go to the AD and that's it? Come on. And then you kind of wash your hands and, oh, I did what I did. You know, don't look at me. I went through the proper chain of command. My ass. Ridiculous. Should have gone right to the police. I would have called 911 right there on the spot, like I said. And then I would have grabbed my Penn State shovel, gone in the shower, and clocked him over the head. Take my chances with the law after that. It's disgusting. All right, 508-298-0398. That's the call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's Kevin in Louisiana. Hi, Kevin. Welcome to the show.
How you doing? How y'all doing today?
Good, Kevin. How are you?
I'm all right. I read into that Penn State situation. I think it's kind of sad of what happened. I think it can handle a little bit better than what it was.
A little better. It's disgustingly frightening that it went on for that many years and that children could have been saved had Joe Paterno and company acted properly when they should have and didn't.
I think him being his age and who he is, you would think a little bit better than what something better would have came out of it than what it would have.
Well, again, it's been going on for 15 years. It's not like this all happened in 1 week, you know, at 84 years old. This has been going on for 15 years, and according to him, he first knew about it in 2002 and did not do anything except tell the AD, and it got washed away, quietly washed away and thrown under the rug.
That's kind of sad.
It is.
But I wanted to talk about the Haynesworth deal.
Sure.
Since we released him,
yep.
We're going to go back to the 3-4 look because it seemed like the 4-3 switch was for him. What was specifically for him coming because he didn't want to play the 3-4. I wonder how we're going to handle that situation right there since he's no longer with us.
I'm not sure. I still think they're going to probably go with, I mean, again, you know, just because they say they play 4-3, and there's certain times they've played more than 50% of the games that way, and other times they haven't. Even when they were 3-14, there are many times they did not play half the game in the 3-4. So I just think you see a lot of formations. My thing about the defense is, for the most part, you take away a couple of stupid penalties, which they were not back. One was might have been a back, but regardless, they were pretty much the correct calls. If they can just get away from those, I mean, I was pretty happy with how the defense played overall. I know the last play to Ballard sucked, that he could have been covered better. But the defense did a lot of good things in that game. Unfortunately, no one's going to remember it when it's all said and done because they lost 24-20 in the end. But I was talking to John Rook in the crossover. I think if the defense can play a lot like that for the rest of the year, I think they'll be okay. I mean, it's not going to be great no matter what, but I think they'll be okay. I think it wasn't horrible what we saw on Sunday. I mean, they held them scoreless in the first half, and overall, I thought they did a pretty good job.
Well, I guess the understanding is, are they going to be consistent enough? Because our defense hasn't been very consistent this year.
No, you're right, and that's right, and that's the problem. And they go up against, you know, a Jet team that, you know, doesn't have a great offense, but they're on a roll right now. They're playing at home. They've won 4 in a row at home, but. You know, and I'm sure it's going to be a nip and tuck field goal game right down to the end in that one. I don't expect a lot of points in that game coming up on Sunday night, but, you know, who knows? I didn't think there'd be a lot of points in a couple of games this year, and it ended up being, you know, 38-35. So, this league is about as unpredictable as it gets on a week-to-week basis. It is very hard. If you watch all these teams, a lot of these teams play, it is tough to say what's going to happen from 1 week to the next.
You think we can win this weekend? I believe we can win.
I put it this way. I'm glad. I certainly believe they can win. I think it's a good thing that they're playing their arch nemesis Jets on Sunday night. Hopefully they'll be extremely focused. They snap out of this little funk. And I don't care how they win it, just win it. I'm sure. I mean, they're a one-point underdog right now. The game will probably be a picket at game time. Or the Jets might be favored by 1 or 2 points. But I think I think they have a great shot to win. It's just, you know, they just have to be extremely focused. And you know, turnovers are going to be so key in that game. So can't have any deflected interceptions or fluky things like that. You know, Sanchez is probably good for a pick. The Jets don't run the ball all that well. I mean, the Patriots beat them 30-21 last time here at home, but this is going to be, again, that was 4 weeks ago. This is going to be, or 5 weeks ago. This is going to be a different type of game. The Jets won a nice game. I thought they would. They won in Buffalo. It was ugly at times for them, but they got the job done. I just expect an old-fashioned Patriots-Jets battle that's, you know, maybe 16-13, 20-17, something like that.
I don't think it's nothing wrong with Brady injury wise. I think it's more him, like Rodney Harrison. I think it's more him not being comfortable with that offensive line. I think that's very important for him.
Yeah, well, I think what's important. I mean, you know, he still threw for 353 yards and, you know, passed for over 60%, which is damn good. He had two touchdowns. I mean, he did have two interceptions again, and he did look uncomfortable at times. But I thought he looked much more uncomfortable. If you want to talk about 2007 in that game, I mean, he was much more uncomfortable in that game. I mean, he also had a couple of drops. Gronkowski dropped a sure like 25 yarder earlier in the game that might have made a difference in the game early on. But you know, again, I'm not too. They need. I mean, Chad Johnson is obviously not going to be the guy here. I'm done with him. I don't expect anything out of him. 8 weeks, he's done nothing. So if Taylor Price can somehow make it through a week of practice, and you know, and they just signed Tyquan Underwood, but you don't know what you're going to get out of him. They need someone who's going to you know, if there's one thing the offensive needs now, it's maybe a wide receiver that can stretch the field a little bit.
How would you feel about T.O. coming in?
Isn't he under arrest?
Oh, I don't know.
Didn't he get arrested this weekend? T.O.? Yeah, it was a warrant out for his arrest or something like that, wasn't it? Yeah, I think there was.
Oh.
Yeah, he was in something happened. I saw T.O., there was a warrant for his arrest or something. It might have been some minor violation, but I don't know, but I'll look it up. We'll look it up for you. So, I don't think it's going to be T.O., and I don't think it's going to be Randy Moss. So, I think they're still hoping and praying that Chad Johnson gets his crap together. Or Taylor Price can kind of somehow step in. I mean, they still have a pretty formidable offense. They still have Welker, a branch, and the two tight ends, and a pretty decent running game. So it's not like they're, I mean, they're not as devastated as people may want to say they are. They went up against three pretty good defenses here the last 3 weeks.
I also think we should try to run more because I saw Ben Jarvis Green being pretty effective running the ball this week.
He was, but if you notice, I mean, unfortunately, when they got down 10-0, that kind of changed things a little bit. I mean, even Danny Woodhead out of the backfield, you saw him catching some passes, some nice passes. Even Ben Jarvis caught a pass or two out of the backfield on Sunday, but he averaged over 4 yards a carry. He had 52 yards. The Patriots rushed for over 100 yards as a team in that game. It just, you know, they had a couple of bad defensive penalties, unfortunately, at bad times in the game. It cost them. Because I think if they win that game 20-17, I think everybody here has a totally different outlook on what this team is all about, and I just think it's a lot of it is I think there's a lot of unnecessary overreaction. I mean, there's certainly cause for concern. There's cause for concern. I'm not denying that, but I just think there's an overreaction the last couple of weeks, and it's because we're so used to them winning and winning by big scores.
I do agree myself. I agree that a lot of overreaction. Because you really think about it, a lot of people picked them at least go 11-5 this season, or maybe 10-6. At least that's what I thought. I never thought they'd go back 14-2.
No, I said 13-3, but that still could happen. But hey, you know, I don't care. Just get into the tournament and win a game. You know, just get to the tournament. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers had lost three playoff games in a row. They went 10-6 and won the Super Bowl. So it certainly has happened. But you're in Louisiana. What part?
I'm in the northern part of Louisiana. I'm in Shreveport.
Did you watch the game Saturday night?
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Are you an LSU fan?
No, I'm not an LSU fan.
You're not?
No, I root for them. The home state, I root for them, but I'm not that good fan of LSU. I'm not going to jump on a bandwagon. I'm more of a Gators fan.
Whoa. Hey, don't say that too loud down there. They're going to come and get you. Whoa. Now, you grew up in Louisiana and you're a Gator fan?
Oh, yeah. I always liked Steve
Spurrier
is a
wow. You didn't like Nick Saban when he was coaching LSU and some of the teams he had?
I was never an LSU fan. I'm not one of these guys that's jumping the bandwagon. I just never was.
But you,
I root for them in the home state. Basically, any SEC team I root for. Maybe it's the best conference in the nation, if you ask me.
Oh, I have no doubt about it. It's not even a close second. Not even a close second. But, I mean, you were born and bred and raised in Louisiana, and you become a Gator fan. That's like becoming a Yankee fan living in Boston.
Well, this is the way it goes.
Oh, I know. Did you have family that were – I mean, how'd you just became a Steve Spurrier fan? I'm always fascinated by how this happens, but especially in college football where it's very uncommon. So you were just a Spurrier fan growing up?
Oh, yeah, I was definitely. My father, He's a great Spurrier fan.
Ah, there it is. So it's kinda, your dad's influence.
Yeah, pretty much. He influenced me a lot. And I also liked Urban Meyer, too. I thought he was a hell of a coach. I wish he would have stayed.
Yeah, well, you know, he had health issues, and, you know, I think he thought about maybe living life is better than coaching and dying on the sideline.
I think they'll have a better record than what we have this year. I don't like that, but I guess it's what it is.
Yeah.
You can play in a new system, so I guess it'll work out sooner or later.
All right, Kevin, well, thanks for the call, my friend. Check in again soon.
You have a nice day.
All right, you too. Let's keep it on with the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. And let's get to I can't read this name, Kevin. I know it's from North Carolina.
Eldridge?
Oh, Eldridge. It says B. Is that an E? Or I can't see the screen.
Yeah.
Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
I'm feeling like you're feeling. I think we should get Moss back and Ken Chad Ochocinco. Can him 8 weeks, 9 weeks. I don't see it because I know he was in Cincinnati. He didn't get to make the training camp, but neither did that rookie AJ Green. But you see how he's doing for Cincinnati, don't you?
He
didn't have the off season training either.
But you know, I don't think this is about work ethic for Chad. I don't think it's about that at all. I'm sure he's everything.
I think he just can't learn.
Well, that's part of it. It's obviously it's part of it. Obviously, he and Brady were totally out of sync once again. You saw Brady go up to him a couple of times on the sideline. I mean, they targeted him five times, no catches. I mean,
no catches.
And he could just tell there were times when either Brady threw it the wrong way or he ran the wrong way. And, you know, my gut instinct tells me over the years that the wide receiver probably ran the wrong way, or it's a combination of both. But, I mean, and what I don't want to happen is I don't want Brady to start looking off, because a couple of times I thought Branch was wide open on Sunday. They had a chance. I watched the game again this morning, and I thought maybe tried to force it to Chad a little bit when Deion was open a couple of times. That's what I don't want to see happen, kind of like what happened here with Moss at the end. But, I mean, look, it's not a horrible offense by any stretch. It's still one of the best in the NFL. The fact that they haven't put up 30 points in the last 3 weeks against three pretty good defenses, I'm not overly concerned about that. But I'm concerned. I'll tell you why.
For the last 3 weeks, both those defenses did the same thing what everybody's doing, copying. Put eight bands in the box, chunking, you know, but Pittsburgh played it better, man for man. And Bill O'Brien did not change the game plan. Did not change it. To me, like, he can't, you know, do a second half adjustment.
Well, the second half they scored 20 points.
Yeah, maybe so, but I still say he should have changed the game plan a little bit.
Well,
Tyshawn Underwood. You know, young receiver, I think he stretched the field a whole lot better than Chad. He showed better in preseason than Chad did.
He's back with the team. He's here for a reason. So either him or Taylor Price, if he can stay healthy for a week of practice. But, I mean, I don't know how much you can expect out of guys who haven't played that much. I mean, but anything is better than what 85 is giving you now, which is nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. To have zero impact in week eight,
yep.
I mean, that's just sad.
Yep, and I also think that's the worst defense Bill had in about 9 weeks, 9 years, 9 or 12 years. That's the worst defense.
Well,
I don't care how you, from
a net yards perspective, yeah. But again, you might be right. Again, I'm going to reserve judgment for another few weeks because it's still only halfway through the season, and I did see a lot. I mean, you have to admit, Eldridge, they did some pretty good things on Sunday. I mean, penalties killed them in the end. That was horrible, but they held the Giants scoreless in the first half, and you know the Patriots' turnovers put them in pretty good position. A couple of interceptions, a Brady fumble, you know, special teams fumble by Edelman. You know, I mean, I think overall, I was pretty happy with how the defense played, to be honest with you.
I was a little shocked because they came out with a little spunk in the beginning, but they, like I said, they died out towards the end. And that last minute 36 reminded me of 2007, a Super Bowl year. And watched Eli go right back down the field again, you know.
Yeah, and you knew they were going to throw on fourth and one. You knew they were going to throw on fourth and one at the goal line, and
I should have known that too.
Yeah, I know. And Ballard was ended up being. It was a nice throw by Eli, but I really thought that pass was going to get picked. I really thought that the Patriots would have just dropped back eight and just sit and wait for it in such a tight area, but it wasn't the case. Eli was pretty good when he had to be. He's been the best fourth quarter quarterback in the league this year, and. And the Patriots are 5-3, still in first place with a lot of football left to go. So we shall see, my friend.
Tied for first. Yeah. But how you predict Sunday?
I think it's going to be a field goal game. 16-13, 20-17. I just think it's going to be, you know, probably a pretty chilly night in New Jersey. And the Jets are playing well right now. I mean, they're not playing great offensively, despite the fact that, I mean, they're not. If you saw the Buffalo game, and they look pretty pathetic at times. The Bills kind of gave them that game with turnovers and some.
Yeah, they did.
And so, I mean, look, they beat them 30-21 here a few weeks ago. I think I throw that game out. I think this will be a much more lower-scoring defensive-type game once again. Jets don't have a great offense, so that fits into the Patriots' hands. So we'll see. I think if the Patriot offense is pretty good, they should be able to win this game by at least a field goal. But, you know, we'll see. Turnovers are going to be key, as always.
Yeah. One more question.
Yeah.
Do you know the reason why they released Dan Gronowski, Gronk's brother?
That's just a numbers thing. And, look, how many times did they release Ross Ventrone? You know, Dan could be back again by the end of the week. You know how it works around here. Sometimes he might be signed to the practice squad by tomorrow. And then back up. I'm sure it's just a numbers game right now, and I think they're trying to find a wide receiver that can complement, you know, the two tight ends that they have, Branch and Welker. You know, they're trying to find a wide receiver that can go out there and give them something other than zeros like Chad Johnson.
Well, don't they be able to just go and release him and just say, okay, we made a mistake like we did with Haynes, you know, because you still going to have to pay him the $4 million anyway, you know, and just let it go.
Well, and that, you might be right. It may be coming down to that. Maybe he gets one more week to prove himself. I don't know. You know, I don't know what their thinking is about it. But certainly, I can't believe Bill's going to put up with more zeros on a week to week basis here, when somebody else could be making at least some kind of an impact. Because, Chad zeros again. I mean, he's just basically done nothing in 8 weeks here. So,
no, he ain't.
His time may be coming soon.
Like I told other guys, I got more catches on him on the PS3 than Madden 12 than he does in New England. All right, man. Have a good day.
Oh, it's all right. Take care, my friend. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Email us at webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And Facebook me as well. I'll read all your messages live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. It's the Pete Shepard Show here until 6 o'clock. When we come back, more of your phone calls and more of your emails here on the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4G LTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
That's best I felt all day after hearing that. All right, yeah, Patriots-Jets coming up on Sunday night from the Meadowlands in East Rutherford, New Jersey. By the way, in case you have tickets to the December 4th game at 8:15 here against Indy, and it will not be at 8:15, it'll be at 1 p.m., thank goodness. And it'll be interesting, and I'm thinking maybe New Year's Day when they play Buffalo – I wonder if that game means a hell of a lot. That could be flexed to maybe Sunday night. That's a possibility. Won't that be fun, playing New Year's Day night in, like, sub-zero temperatures? Oh, goodness. Well, we're talking about a lot of things today, the Patriots, and also my so upset about this Penn State story. Again, I want to thank Greg Spano, former offensive lineman, for coming on and sharing his thoughts, former Penn State offensive lineman. So you can still chime in about that. I have lots of emails to read about that, but I'm going to stick with the Patriots here for a little bit. My buddy Tiff in Wisconsin says, Pete, thank you for covering the story, meeting Penn State. I disagree with you. Why don't you expect the guy who actually witnessed the alleged abuse to have reported it to the police? Why is a man who witnessed a child being sexually abused or raped going to the head coach instead of the police? I witnessed three thugs breaking into cars in a parking lot near my home, and I called the police immediately. I also made sure the thugs saw me witnessing what they were doing. I just want to live in a world where if someone witnesses my son being sexually abused, they will call the police immediately. You call the police. This guy is done, and there aren't any more victims. Tiff, I don't know why you're disagreeing with me. That's my whole point. This guy, Mike McQuarrie, who went, not only did he, first of all, he didn't even go to the coach first. He went home to his daddy and told him. Then went to the coach and went to the AD. But that's what I'm saying, Tiff, is Mike McQuarrie initially, you know, should have gone right to the police station. That is the whole, that's what I'm saying. That is the most frightening thing of this whole scenario. You see a child being molested in the shower, you're a graduate assistant, and you run home to your dad? Run to the police station. So, Tip, he must have misunderstood me, because that's exactly what I'm saying. And he's probably not the only one over the years. Over a 15-year period, I can't believe Mike McQuarrie is the only one that knew or witnessed something that was going on and didn't go right to the police. And by Pennsylvania law, you are required to go to the police if you see a child being molested. But I agree with you wholeheartedly, Tiff. I just think you misunderstood me. That's what I was saying in the beginning. This guy, that's the first thing he should have done. Go to the police. Any decent human being would have done that. Trying to think what emails here that I haven't read. I'm going through some of them. Alex says, hi, Web Radio. I think the Patriots need to hire a full-time defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick and maybe a GM, too, in order so we can win a few more Super Bowls. We also need to use free agency to our advantage as well, which we haven't. And Belichick needs to stop foolishly trading number one picks because we keep missing out on quality players, which frustrates the fans, including me, because I'm tired of my frustration boiling over every Sunday after a loss. Well, it's not been every Sunday. It's been the last two. And one previous to that. The team needs to spend on defense in the offseason because this defense is not cutting it for the fans, Belichick, and for the crafts. Thank you for your time. Alex from Citrus Heights, California. Well, I just think there's a lot. You know, I agree with some of what you're saying. And Bill Belichick certainly deserves some criticism. I mean, there's no getting around that for some of the personnel decisions. I do think the last couple of years, the drafts have been pretty good. Now, I know, you know, people always remember the bad ones. He's had some pretty good ones the last couple of years. And prior to that, yeah, you know, it's not just him. It's every team in the NFL. Nobody has these great drafts every single year. I'm not sure you know about the rest of this, the rest of the league. Oh, this is from, interesting, this is from Pro Football Talk, Greg Rosenthal. The headline, get this. Haynesworth gave up against the Giants. It says Albert Haynesworth got into a sideline argument with defensive line coach Pepper Johnson during the team's loss to the Giants just 2 days before he was released. But that's not why Haynesworth was released. It was about the contract. It wasn't about the contract either. Players argue with coaches plenty on the sideline. The ones that give effort and display their talents are kept around. Haynesworth just stopped competing. Greg Bedard of the Boston Globe breaks down the tape from Sunday's game, pointing to a ridiculous three-play sequence where Haynesworth essentially gave up. Well, I agree, because I watched it this morning again. And particularly that touchdown to Jacobs was embarrassing. On three consecutive plays, he was thrown to the ground with one arm, pancaked to the ground after he stopped moving to his feet, and again thrown to the ground by guard David Deal that the other Patriot regulars beat all day. I totally agree. That's the play I was talking about. I mean, there's no doubt about that. On the ground three straight times, it didn't seem to mind at all, one personnel executive told Bedard. Just stopped moving his feet for each play. Haynesworth's last snap in a Patriot uniform was when he was easily pushed out of the way on Brandon Jacobs' touchdown, which is what I'm talking about. Kyle Love already played ahead of Haynesworth. New England has youngsters Ron Brace and Brandon Diedrich coming off the pup list so they could afford to afford the hit to their depth. Bedard writes, Haynesworth needed to go, and sources and some Patriot players were grumbling about that, but Coach Bill Belichick was already moving in that direction. Belichick ordered to the rest of the Patriots to get rid of a guy who played like he didn't give a damn. And that's what I said to John Rook, and before the story even came out. I mean, I noticed that on I didn't notice that in some of the other games, but it was definitely no question it was obvious on Sunday that he didn't feel like being there for whatever reason. And I'm not stunned at all that he was gone today, because I would have been calling. I thought he was just awful on that series. And if you pay attention to the game and you look at the offensive linemen, and again, I watched the game a couple times, you can see it. It was ridiculous. And I just think this guy, Bill, likes people who love to play football, and Albert Haynesworth, for whatever reason, does not like to play football anymore, or doesn't love to play anymore, for whatever reason. Dave in Monterey, California. Pete, I've been listening to PatriotsRadio.com all day, hearing you. We hate the Jet song is like you, the best I've felt all day. Can you send me a copy so I can make it my ringtone? It's on there somewhere. It's on my Facebook page as well. You have to go back and look at older posts. And one of my friends on Facebook actually put a little, montage of the Patriots beating the Jets in the first game to it all. So we'll see. Let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline once again. 508-298-0398. It's our buddy Tyrone in Delaware. Hello, Tyrone.
Hey, what's going on, Pete?
What's up, Tyrone? How are you, my friend? How was your weekend?
Well, weekend was fine until Sunday morning, because I know I was getting ready, to face the Giants, and I had a feeling that we was going to lose because, like I said before, we just not talented enough. But a lot of people was getting upset because of the fans was, saying, well, it's the offense. Because I always was saying, yo, this offense is too predictable. After the Buffalo Bills game, I was saying, yo, it's too predictable. So people, I think John Rook, I think, was upset because fans were saying, well, yo, why we getting the defense a pass? Well, the reason we giving the defense a pass because we know they was what they were, a bunch of scrubs and retread. So we knew, if you were telling me that before the game, that our defense that has no Pro Bowlers, don't have no playmakers, probably Vince
Wilfork. That's not true. That's not true. They do have Pro. They have Pro Bowlers on the defense. Tyrone, your statement is wrong. They have Pro Bowlers on defense.
Let me ask you this question. Who on our defense could start on Baltimore, who could play over, like who would play over somebody in the Baltimore Ravens defense?
Wilfork and Mayo would start.
Okay, over Nada? Over Nada?
Well, Wilfork would find his way onto the defensive line. He would start somewhere. Yeah, he would play on the defensive line.
Okay, other than that, who else?
Mayo.
Over who? Over which linebacker?
Well, it depends what kind of defense they were playing. If they were playing 3-4, Mayo could probably be there. What is your greater point? Because so far you've been incorrect on your statement so far. They don't have Pro Bowl. And you said they had a whole bunch of, scrubs. When you make a blanket statement like that, it sounds foolish. It sounds foolish, because I bet you on Sunday, if I was at your house and you didn't see the Patriots half of the score, that it was zero, if you saw it that it was a zero for the Giants, you would have gone crazy.
You tell me our defense was going to hold the Giants to 0 points, I would have took that and run with it.
Of course. So
that's what I'm saying. That's why people is not up now. Like people in Baltimore, if that defense get run over by somebody, well, they could cry because they say, "Yo, our defense better than this." But we already know. I already knew we ain't got much playmakers on defense. I mean, I'm just calling it what it is, because if we had playmakers on defense, we'd have stopped Eli Manning from getting that touchdown. I mean, I mean, it is what it is.
Well, unfortunately, they did a pretty good job most of the day until the last.
And there was bad
penalties, and the Patriots are responsible for it. Two bad pass interference penalties that really, really did them in.
But I'm not blaming the defense because, like, again, it's the offense I'm blaming because we don't have enough weapons like a Green Bay or something like that. Because what they're doing, they're jamming. Like I said, I've been saying this for a couple of weeks now. The blueprint's been out, and that's what teams gonna start doing. If you know, before I went to work, ESPN had a little thing on how the three teams, Dallas.
Pittsburgh and the Jets. You know why? But Tyrone, do you know why?
Because we got nobody on that.
No, because but come on, Tyrone. That sounds foolish when you say that. Listen to me. Calm down. Listen to me a second, okay? With Dallas, the Jets, and the Giants, you're talking about three of the better defenses in the NFL, okay? So I don't expect the Patriots to score 30 points. Now, I'm telling you, go look at the – I was just talking to Kevin about this during the last break. Go out after this Jet game coming up, which will be four good defenses they play in a row, okay? And I don't expect 30 points in this game either. If they score 20, I'll be happy. I don't care as long as they win. But after that, Tyrone, go look at the teams that they have to play. And I promise you, you're going to see 28-plus points in probably five of the next six games after this Sunday. Go look at the schedule. And you got to look at the schedule for some of these other teams, too. There's a reason why a lot of – but no, Tyrone, there's a reason why a lot of teams don't score a whole bunch of points against Dallas, against the Jets, against Pittsburgh, with very few exceptions.
The Eagles scored 34.
I know they did, but that's –
Pete, you mean to tell me we got enough weapons on offense?
Tyrone, I'm as frustrated as anybody. I'd like to see Chad Johnson show up for a game. I'd like to see Taylor Price make it through practice and be able to play in a game and have some go-to guys. However, it's not as disastrous as you're making it out. Brady threw for 352 yards and two touchdowns. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis ran for 52 yards over 4 yards of carry. Had they not been down 10-0 in the third quarter, he probably would have had more. They rushed for over 100 yards as a team, and they passed for over. They had over almost 500 yards of offense.
But each game since the Jets game, we've been scoring less than less. And they're using the same game plan. They know we ain't got nobody on the outside. Clog the middle, jam West Welker. The tight ends are okay.
How did Jam and West Welker work out on Sunday?
Okay, when they missed.
He had 97 yards. He had 97 yards. Gronkowski torched him.
We score a point. If you was going to tell me we wasn't going to score a point in at half of the Giants, I'd say you crazy.
Look, I
want to believe it.
But again, Tyrone, they still look. There was a missed chip shot field goal by Gostkowski at the end of the first half, 27 yards. That, you know, he's going to make 99 out of 100 times, obviously. And yes, I mean, I was frustrated at times with the offense. I agree with you, but they also went up against a pretty formidable Giants defense. And you know, I'm not going to sit here and go.
If they had more playmakers, we would have beat them. If we had a couple more.
Wait a second. Now, which way is it going to be? Because Brady marched them down the field at the end of the game with 90 seconds to go, and they were ahead.
Okay, so, I don't understand that.
And then they had two bad pass interference calls on them that killed them. It was killer. You also had Edelman fumble the ball, gave him great field possession earlier on a turnover.
There's a lot of factors
that go into the game. It's not just one particular player or one particular part of the game.
I'm not blaming it on one, but what I'm saying is, okay, do we have as much talent wide receivers as the Green Bay Packers?
No, but right now they're playing like the Patriots did in 2007 offensively, okay? But let me ask you this.
I think their offense now was better than our offense in 2007.
Hang on. I'll tell you this. The Green Bay defense in this secondary, you see the yards they're giving up?
No doubt. But what I'm saying is, this is all, because I was listening to the post-game show, mm-hmm. and people, everybody's saying the same thing. It's all of these personnel decisions that, especially with the draft, I've been skeptical of Belichick with each draft because every time you go to the draft,
here's the thing, and here's where people overreact again, Tyrone, and they don't understand. First of all, in 07, they had draft picks that got them Wes Welker and Randy Moss. Okay, nobody ever talks about that because they just forget it. They don't understand.
They signed them.
They traded for them with the draft picks.
And I'm talking about draft picks.
I know that, but they used some of those draft picks to get two marquee players that they normally wouldn't have been able to get. And then they drafted over the last couple of years, and just off the top of my head, guys like Gronkowski, Hernandez, Vollmer, McCourty, Mayo, Spikes, Chung. That is not a bad group of guys. And I would tell you go through the entire NFL, go through the entire league, and try to come up with seven guys that have made an impact like those seven have here over the last 2 years. I bet you'd have a hard time doing that. Now, they've had some misses. They've had some misses, and they've had some Bill's had some bad personnel decisions. I understand that. But, oh, my God, it is not that horrible. It just isn't.
Oh, we're not going to make the playoffs.
Oh, stop it.
The Jets. I saw the Jets play yesterday.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah, I saw Buffalo. I saw Buffalo give them the game by turning the ball over countless times, time and time again, because Sanchez sucked in the first half.
They got their swag back. They got their swag.
Wait a second. Where was their swag? Wait a second. Their swag was dictated to them by Buffalo by turning the ball over. The Buffalo Bills should have been ahead like 17-0 in that game in the first half. Instead, they were down 3-0, and it just got progressively worse because they kept turning the ball over.
Reason why I'm so passionate because I know we missed some opportunities if we did better decisions. But look, before I go, I'm gonna tell you this. Hey. We're going to lose 3 in a row. Ain't no doubt about it in my mind. We're going to lose 3 in a row.
All right, we shall.
I love talking to you.
All right, you too, my friend. We'll take care, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. And like I said, I in some ways, I know some of you are right. People want the Patriots to be the underdog. They will be the underdog on Sunday. At least right now, they're a point underdog. But I've just seen too much football in my life. I'm not going to sit here and do this massive overreaction. It'd be one thing if they're losing games 35-10, okay? They have gone up against three pretty good defenses. I know there's frustrations on both sides of the football, and this week especially, special teams with Gostkowski and Edelman screwing up the way they did, all right? There's no question about it. It's frustrating. They had the lead with 90 seconds to go. Two bad pass interference calls. Not against the Red, but, I mean, Patriots allowed tons of yards on pass interference. And the last play, I was disgusted at because I really thought we were going to drop back 8 and just have Eli throw a pick in the end zone. I really thought that's what was going to happen because you knew they were going to throw the ball. They couldn't run it. They couldn't even risk a quarterback sneak because time would run out. But it didn't work out that way. Ballard was open, beat Guyton, and the rest is history. But I am just not going to sit here. The team is tied for first place in the AFC East right now, halfway through. There's a lot of football left to be played, folks. And I keep saying it week in and week out. Look at the rest of the National Football League. Look at the issues some of these other teams have. Look at the Eagles last night. Look at the Bears. They have issues. Raiders have issues. Teams like Tennessee. Even the Steelers and Ravens. They have issues. Just in the AFC, I don't know anybody who can say anybody is a clear-cut favorite right now to get to the Super Bowl. I don't know how you come to that conclusion after 8 weeks and a lot of the parity that we're seeing. You just don't. I just don't see it. I don't know how. I told you. I usually wait till around week 11, around Thanksgiving, before I start to determine where teams are. Now, as the Patriots, we hear the really easy buzzwords. They've lost their identity. Bill can't coach. The game is passed him by. All this crap, Certain players don't care about playing football. I mean, it's too generic for me. I'm not into generic. I've seen it too much over my lifetime to know that, perception is often not reality. Now, I think some of you are living in an alternate reality. Some of you. And I know you're passionate, and I understand that. And I know it's frustrating. And I know people are going to say, the last 3 weeks, I understand that. Look at the defenses they're playing. It's going to be 4 weeks where the offense probably doesn't look as it did the first four games. But look at the remaining part of their schedule and look who they're going to be going up against. They are going to score a bunch of points after this game against the Jets. Trust me. It's coming. Now, we'll see what the defense can do as well. But you can't sit here. I mean, every week is not going to be just because the Jets, Dallas, and the Giants have come up with some, who are three pretty good defenses, have come up, you know, with some good tactics to slow down the Patriots a little bit, doesn't mean that every other team is going to be able to do that. They don't have the personnel. You can try to copycat all you want. If you don't have the players to execute, you're going to fail doing it. Brady still threw for 352 yards and two touchdowns. The interceptions were bad. The fumble was bad. Edelman's fumble was bad. Bad, bad, bad. Anyway, let me get back to the phones here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, then we'll take another quick break before we move on. Here's, is it Oliver or Olivier? Olivier? It's Olivier in Virginia. Hi, Olivier. You're up next here. Hi.
Mr. Shepard, how are you?
Hey, what's up, my friend?
Well, you know, I've been listening to all of the shows today. It's the third time I speak to Kevin today, and I wanted to call in because I'm always listening to your show and never had a chance to participate to it. But
thanks for checking in.
We hear about you're correct. I like your perception on things, and I think I agree with you that this is not the end of the world. You know, things will change, things will improve, and I think you know the defense has played relatively well compared to where we were in the past, and I think that. I see some progress. They played well for 57 minutes. Of course, the last drive that Manning put together, credit to him, was a great drive for them. And I think maybe the immaturity of certain players showed because they got maybe afraid. They maybe got too static. They lacked speed. I think they were so afraid to make a mistake that they made too many mistakes. But ultimately, you know, if we score that field goal, you know, 27 yard that people should do like their eyes closed, I think that's not even a contest for a game after Brady put that great drive, that great drive down the, you know, with 2 minutes to play and put us like 7 points up. So I'm like, I think this failure, or at least this loss is not too much of a loss. I think it's a team loss, but I think it forces every single aspect of the team, the offense, the defense, the special teams, and the coaching staff to look at themselves inside out, to do some soul searching and to improve for next game. And I think that might actually be a good position for us to be in this week because they're going to be raging. They're going to be pissed off at themselves and the performance. They're going to try to do better. And it's the perfect theater for us to do this is on Sunday night against the Jets.
Well, that's why I'm glad they're not playing like I'm glad they're not playing some scrub team like Miami or you know, the Rams or something this way. I'm glad they're playing a team, a rival that's going to be a highly competitive game.
Absolutely.
And I think you're right.
No, we don't have the talent. You know, well, let's bring back Randy Moss. I have a better idea. I think we should bring back Marshall Faulk and Deion Sanders. Maybe if they're available, they can come up. You know?
Yeah, well, those guys don't like the Patriots, so they wouldn't play here. But, yeah,
I know.
I would just like to see Chad Johnson just show up and just be able to get some kind of grasp on this offense, which obviously he has not been able to do yet. Or Taylor Price make it through a week for practice and get out there. Or maybe, you know, Tyquan Underwood, who they re-signed today, maybe he can do a little something. But, again, overall, the offense, I'm still not overly concerned about. I'm really not. Because they put up some pretty good numbers against the Giants in the second half.
And they have a great
Sunday.
Quarterback that produces under pressure.
Exactly.
So as long as we have him, I think we can feel confident that we always have an opportunity to make play changing games. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, I like your perspective, my friend.
Well, thank you. Nice meeting you, and have a great evening, and hopefully I'll talk to you later on this week.
Okay, Olivia, call in anytime. Really appreciate
Thanks,
it. Thank
Pete.
You
appreciate
very much. Okay. That's Olivier from Virginia. Great job. Again, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline number. And I'll get to Joey in Washington in 1 second. Just want to read this email because I got an email from Greg Spano's brother, Frank, who Greg was on early today with me from former offensive lineman at Penn State. His brother also played offensive line, started for Penn State as well. He says, "Dear Pete, hope all is well. Yesterday began a very difficult time for not only all PSU former and current football players, but for all former alma mater of Pennsylvania State University. I am still so perplexed by the situation that has occurred. It is in my opinion that the first and foremost, my heart and prayers go out to all the families that have been affected by this disturbing situation. All this being said, this is not a football program issue. This is a people issue. My heart goes out to the victims and to any staff and coaches that truly were not aware of this situation. What disturbs me the most is the action of Mike McQuarrie and how he has a 28-year-old man at the time, graduate assistant, run out of the locker room in accordance to what he saw. There's no way on earth I'd be able to live with myself if I was Michael. If that was me in the position where I was, no way I could run out of the locker room and call my daddy. I would, and you have to excuse me here, left Coach Sandusky for dead and call 911 immediately. How could you not help that kid? It is a sad, sad day, and like I said, my heart goes out to the victims. Well said, Frank, and I think you share the opinion of myself and probably 99% of the country. And that is just that is the problem here. You know, is that and it starts with Mike McQuarrie and any other, and I still find it hard to believe that nobody else knew what the hell was going on in that situation, somebody on the staff there. And certainly Joe Paterno, I don't care that he told the AD. He should have picked up the goddamn phone and called 911 immediately, called the FBI. I don't care who you call. Just get that guy behind bars immediately. That's what should have happened, but it didn't. And like I said, a ninth victim has come out. There's going to be more. There's going to be a lot more to this story, I think. A lot more. This is going to get uglier and uglier. So back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Check in with Joey from Washington. Hi, Joey. You're next up here with Pete. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
Gotta turn your volume down on your computer, okay?
My bad.
That's all right.
But anyways,
what's going on?
Oh, not much. Just listening to your show.
Yeah. How are things in Washington these days? You in Washington State or Washington D.C.?
Washington State.
Ah.
Pretty cold.
It's actually 70 degrees here today, believe it or not.
Nice.
Yep.
So what's on your mind? I want to talk about the cut of Haynesworth.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I really didn't see that coming.
Well, did you see the game on Sunday? Patriots game on Sunday?
I did.
If you go back, yeah. I don't know if you have it on DVR or taped it, but if you go back and see the last series in the fourth quarter, it was abysmal. It was awful. And you could just tell that he had given up. I mean, that's what I thought. I'm not surprised at all because I was yelling at him the whole time. That Jacobs touchdown, I mean, he could have waltzed in, done the tango into the end zone. There was such, he just got pancaked.
And another thing, Brady ain't looking as sharp as he used to.
No. Well,
I seen a couple plays he missed on a couple wide receivers.
He did, but he also he also threw for 353 yards, a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah,
Gronkowski dropped a big ball for him at one point. There was another drop by somebody else too. I can't remember, but. Look, he was frustrated, obviously, in the first half. There's no doubt about it. He threw a couple of bad balls, but he wasn't horrible by any stretch.
Yeah.
He led them down the field for a game-winning, what should have been a game-winning drive at the end with 90 seconds to go. It's a pretty good drive. He made some great throws, especially that one in fourth down to Gronkowski in the end zone.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that we should take a chance on T.O.
I thought T.O. got arrested on Sunday.
What happened was, I think it's like a case of, it's a Cromartie case with child support payments.
Yeah.
So I think he
there's
got
a warrant out for his arrest.
Yeah, and I think he has like four different children with four different women. So.
Well, I mean, they're not really. Yeah, they're not going to get involved with that stuff. There's enough drama already. They don't need that stuff. They don't need that.
So do you ever think Chad will show up?
Do I ever think Chad? I don't know. It's a good question. I've been waiting for 8 weeks for this guy to show up, and it was more disturbing on watching him this past Sunday because he obviously was so out of sync with Brady. He doesn't get the offense, and you know, I don't know how much longer they can keep this guy in the field and keep getting 0 yards out of him.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, is it his time to go?
Yeah. Well, it might be, but his time, he might be on a very short leash the next couple of weeks, so we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, Joey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Call back again. Thanks a lot. Joey's in Washington. Air must be good in Washington these days, I think. Back to emailing at webradiopatriot.com. You can still call me. 508-298-0398. Hey, Pete, first off, I want to say, this is from Michael, or Sergeant Michael, I should say. I don't want to give out your last name in case you don't want that, but U.S. Army Military Police, Traffic Accident Investigator, Sergeant Michael. I won't say your last name just in case you don't want it. But, hey, Pete, first off, I want to say that I am bummed about this game, but I don't feel as badly as I did last week. I feel like the defense stepped up throughout the whole game. I kept hearing that they failed the last drive. Well, remember, it's supposed to be prevent, let them catch it in the bounds, and keep the clock running. And one thing you can't account for is the pass interference call on Sergio Brown, who shouldn't have even been out there. I feel that the offense blew this one with a score as low as 17. The Pats shouldn't be in a position where they are in a two-minute drive for the win. But also, yeah, but they did do that, Sergeant Michael. They went down and they were ahead. It was a beautiful drive by the Patriots, and I told you, it was a great fourth down throw by Brady to Gronk in the end zone. I feel that the defense blew this one, or the offense blew this one with a score as low as 17. The Pats shouldn't have been in a position where they are in a two-minute drive for the win. Also, how many teams can win with four-plus turnovers? Not to mention the defense got an interception and a fumble recovery. Overall, this loss is not as bad. Ocho should have had some good catches, but Brady missed some throws. Also, I'm pissed that Price is injured. Well, I agree with you. Brady missed a couple of throws, yeah, but I don't think he missed a couple of throws to Chad. I think Chad ran the wrong way. At least that's the appearance. That's the way I saw it when they were talking on the sideline. So, I don't know. I don't know how much longer they stick with Chad Johnson. Chad says, well, this is a long one, Chad. Wow. But I'll read it. Chad, thoughts on the Giants? Wow, this is like a memoir. Look at this. Oh, good God. Okay. Hello, Pete and Kev. I'll be a bit long. Excuse me. Last Sunday's loss is very unfortunate. But it's even more unfortunate for people like me since I have to stay up until 1 in the morning just for Patriots' loss. I understand our fans' frustrations. New England and Tom Brady mean so much. People pay a lot of money to come to the games, etc. Now the reason why I'm grumpy after the loss is because we're going to get another one of those crybabying weeks orchestrated by those two goobers, Paul and Andrew. That makes me angry. And people are reacting as if Mark Jokchez, I think he means Mark Sanchez, is our quarterback. And then he goes on to say several other things. I like that he called Paul and Andrew goobers. That's new. They get called a lot of names. I know goober's one of them. That's new. They've been called goobers before? Abandoning the no-huddle offense is killing. We literally wrecked San Diego and Miami's D. We need this philosophy back. Bill dropped the game plan the last few weeks, and it's not a good strategy. We absolutely need to burn out those giant pass rushers. Between costly penalties, missed snaps, poor protection, poor push of the line, this was a pretty atrocious game for a good Patriots offensive line. I wouldn't say it was atrocious. I mean, they had their issues at times, as most teams do when you play the Giants. That lead the league in 26.5 sacks. But I'm telling you, if you go back and look at 2007, Brady was much more uncomfortable in that game than he was on Sunday. He certainly didn't pass for 353 yards in the Super Bowl back in 07. Gostkowski missed a huge field goal. That meant that the Patriots couldn't take their time in their fourth quarter drive since the field goal to win wasn't an option. Yeah, I agree with that. That was a big miss. I guess Guyton came out with an injury, which is why White was in it in the touchdown. Yes. White bit on the play action because he's not experienced enough on defense to be playing in that situation. Chung Barrett were out of the game on that last drive. It's a shame. Agreed. Patriots pass rush actually looked pretty good today. Eight quarterback hits, lots of pressure on Eli, but zero sacks. Granted, they look good all game, but this is a game of inches, and when you can't pass, push the opposing team back with sacks, this is what happens. I'm not sure I entirely agree with that. Carter was in there a few times, and they had Eli uncomfortable many times, as you saw. Brandon Dietrich played a nice game. He looked a lot better than Sean Ellis. Yep. If Brandon Spikes hadn't gotten injured, I believe we win this game. Hopefully Spikes isn't out for too long. Spikes is getting better week after week. I agree, but he is going to be a week-to-week situation now. Mark Anderson played a great game, generating one quarterback hit and two pressures and 19 snaps. Andre Carter continues to be dominant with five pressures and three running quarterback hits. Rob Ninkovich generated three pressures. I told you, my keys to the game were the three linebackers, basically Ninkovich, Mayo, and Spikes. I thought overall they did a pretty good job for the most part. I thought the Patriots tackled better. I mean, a couple mismatches they had at times, but I thought they tackled much better this week. It's just it's unfortunate those last two offensive those last two pass interference penalties were just huge in that game. Huge.
As a side note, too, the one interception the Patriots did force, the one Arrington had in the end zone,
yeah,
that should have been half of Andre Carter's pick because he came off the edge unblocked and he forced Eli to throw it up for grabs.
Yeah, that's
so
a good point.
So he forced that.
That's what I said. That's why sometimes sacks, just because it's no sacks from one. I thought Andre played a terrific game on Sunday. Terrific game. All right, let's see. More from Elliot in Atlanta. Elliot. And Atlanta says, listening online, good show. You just mentioned that we should not, as fans, be panicked yet, but I think we should be half panicking. The defense sucks, and without above average pass rush and decent secondary, well, the playoffs results will be short-lived. Well, I think they had a decent pass rush, and I think the secondary, for the most part, played a pretty decent game on Sunday. For the most part. You take away the turnovers and the one on special teams. The Giants were in pretty good field position on those plays. That's tough for anybody. But, I mean, they held the Giants scoreless in the first half. And just unfortunate that there were pass interference calls on the last drive. They were ahead, you know, 20-17. They only gave up 17 points with 90 seconds to go. Unfortunately, they gave up another seven. Also have not, although many may have missed, a valuable analysis of why Brady and Chad Johnson are not yet on the same page. Brady is a master at the deep ball, finding receivers open, and Chad is fast, good route selection, with typically solid hands. No deep ball threat, as the Pats had with Moss, is and will continue to really cause problems, driving Brady to through the short dink and dunk passes, particularly in the middle, resulting in tips and interceptions. My opinion, if this is not solved along with the defense, New England's ability to win the playoffs is at risk. Your thoughts? Well, look, I agree. Look, I agree. I'm not going to sit here and panic over the offense because of the defense they've played the last 3 weeks and going up against the Jets' very good defense on Sunday night as well. So I'm just not going to be expecting a big 30-point turnout again. Now, after that, different story because look at the teams they're going to be playing. Totally different. So, yeah, I mean, as I said, Brady and Chad Johnson, no idea what's going on. It appears to me Chad is not grasping this offense. He should have by now, but he's not. And I don't know how much longer he has here, but I'd like to see him or Taylor Price or somebody. They signed Tyquan Underwood today. So maybe one of those three guys can get going along with the rest of the offense on Sunday. Overall, still not very worried about the offense because of the teams they played the last couple of weeks. Gene in Daytona Beach says, hi, Pete and Kev. My wife is from Pennsylvania and has always been a Penn State fan, and that's how I became a Penn State fan. I do not know if I can watch them now, but I am rooting for those kids there, and I mean the abused ones. I can only hope for the best of them and their families and that they can survive this with as little pain as possible. This whole Penn State situation hurts all people from Pennsylvania residents and former residents. Believe me, I know. My wife told me Paterno was resigning, and then I saw that he was going to try to coach Saturday to get one more win. I do not know what is true right now, but he needs to leave so the healing can start. Tyquan Underwood has 1 week played, won a preseason game with us, and that was 4 for 5 with 80 yards, and he was cut. I complained to Andy when they cut Underwood and kept Ocho, and he got mad at me. It did not take Underwood long to learn our playbook. Bill needs to give those guys aptitude tests before he signs them. I am sick of seeing Tom running around for his life, and where is Ocho? I am not worried about these losses. In fact, I would rather scratch my way to the top. I think the Bill Belichick team performed their best when disrespected or overlooked. I love your passion, Pete. I think you are one of these guys who looks at the glass half full and not half empty, and that's why we love you. Well, I look at everything. I've just learned over the years in all sports that I've covered not to overreact at certain times in the season. Now, if they lost a game like that to the Giants in week 16 and it cost them a playoff spot, different reaction. But I'm not going to go crazy about it in week 8 when they're still tied for first place atop the AFC East. And technically, I think they are in first place by the tiebreaker system, which is why you see them on top in all the polls. But look, it'll be another tough game on Sunday. Another tough game. Nancy says, hello. I was wondering, do you think Moss will be back? Thank you, Nancy. No. best way I could put it, no. But there was a I read that one already. All right, you can still get to me on we can sneak one more call, and it's Kat in Chicago. Hi, Kat.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm gonna talk to you.
You're very popular on this website, I hear.
I am, and I'm calling because
emailers were calling in complaining about. I didn't hear the conversation you had with John, but emailers are calling are saying that the emails are saying they disagree with you.
Well,
whatever it was.
I took that to heart, and so I have spent the last hour watching a replay of the game.
Yeah.
And pausing every time there is a sideline shot of the Patriots sideline where Brady is could potentially be out there.
Yep.
And I have looked. I didn't make it through the entire format. The last where they turned the ball over to the Giants, and that's like 1:36 in the fourth. So pretty much, I've looked at all of the Patriots possessions.
Yeah, but Kat, I know where you're going with this, but seriously, if you're thinking that Brady is not looking at just because you didn't get a glimpse of it on television, he's not that way. I mean, Kat, your signal's way off. I've got to let you go. We'll call back tomorrow, but I completely disagree with you if you think Tom is not watching some kind of sideline film or whatever. And just because you didn't see it in those particular times, the camera showed him on TV, there's a lot of things you didn't see. I don't think a lot of people saw Pepper Johnson and Albert Haynesworth arguing on the sideline either. Now, you saw Brady smash some cups and sit down on the bench and all that stuff, but I would not read, Kat, too much into that stuff, okay? I wouldn't read too much into it. Well, this was a great way to start the week. It's unfortunate that we had to go through some of this Penn State stuff, but I felt I had to because it was just very emotional for me to read that grand jury summary. And if you can, go online and check it out. It's just absolutely – I mean, if you have young kids, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody that's not at least, you know, 13, 14 years old. And even then, I would read it with your kid or teenager. And it's just absolutely unbelievable. But, you know, I have a lot of passion about it. And the other thing, you know, the other thing with Penn State, and again, this is obviously I agree with Greg and Frank Spano. They were saying about being obviously it's a people issue, not a program issue. But I don't know about the rest of you guys, but, you know, besides Boston College around here, I mean, me growing up as a kid in New England, I mean, Penn State's kind of like my adopted team. I think a lot of people on the Northeast feel that way. I mean, those at Rutgers and Syracuse and stuff like that, and you know, you feel differently now. UConn has got a division, but I mean, I think a lot of us around in the Northeast always felt kind of, besides Boston College, that Penn State was one of those, you know, blue collar teams you could always root for because of Joe Paterno, because of what he stood for, because of the work ethic of the Nittany Lions and all that stuff. I mean, I always had a place in my heart for Penn State, you know, for a lot of years, and that's. I am just so outraged and disgusted by what has happened, and it's going to get uglier over there. It's going to get uglier. I just hope and pray that those kids who are now young adults, some of them, you know, can get the counseling and support they need from family and friends and get through this because I just cannot even imagine being a parent and having to go through that situation, and particularly at a school with a guy like Joe Paterno running the show. And how the police were not informed so much earlier. I think it's disgusting. They all need to get fired or resign, and they need to go from there. Anyway, more on the Patriots tomorrow. Peter King is going to join me tomorrow at 4:30, right? In the 4 o'clock hour. So he's always great to talk to. We'll talk to Peter King. And I want to thank Kevin for producing this whole thing. Again, thanks to Greg Spano, former offensive lineman, for checking in today for a few minutes and telling his side when he was there from 2000 to 2002. We'll be back tomorrow, same time from 4 to 6 right here on Patriots.com and the Pete Shepherd Show. Hope to hear from you then. Have a great and safe rest of your Tuesday night, everybody. Good night.